We covered very methodically Amos, and today I would like really to continue and to end with my own article. I've xeroxed for you a few inscriptions today, Aramaic inscriptions rather, which really shed some light on what we do today. And then I have an article that was published in 1976. I contributed something to Amos already 20 years ago. And in Journal of Biblical Literature, I made a Xerox copy, and we'll read the article together towards the end of this lecture in order to show you really the system and the method of biblical scholarship as it is being taught to me by my professor. We will discuss it in detail. Be it as it may, we have achieved Amos Perek Gimel, verse 11, and we have discussed the political and also the political terminologies, stereotypes that Amos is using. You know, it's like sometimes I feel that he has a lexicon that he depicts the expression from this lexicon and incorporated into his prophecy. Of course, not artificially, but this was within his blood. He knew exactly what to use and when to use it. As you very clearly saw of the treaty, what we did, the business of the treaty terminology that we did in chapter 1, verse 11, Ko amar Adonai al shlosha pishei Edom al ba'al v'ashivenu al tfo b'cherev achi v'shichet rachamav v'yitrof la'ad apu v'evratu shmara netzach, and many others. There is one difficulty. You see, I did not teach you those three chapters. We did not went into the biblical style of Amos. But what we did, we extrapolate anything that is possible from the ancient Near East to show you that Amos was an integral part of the literary vernacular, or literary society of the ancient Near East. I mean, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdalot, no ancient Near Eastern poet in the time of the 8th century would write like Amos. I mean, this is an inspiration by Hashem, with no hesitation. But be it as it may, you will see in a few minutes a few things I will show you, at least from inscriptions that are bearing on Amos, that you see the style is almost the same, but the inspiration is different. We did the chapter 3, verse 11, Lachem ko amar Adonai tzaru sviv haaretz. You remember that from verse 6 in chapter Bet until the end of the chapter, Amos is prophesied to Israel, which is the eighth nation, which is the climactic number 7 plus 1, and he achieves the climax of X plus 1, which means 7 plus 1, 8, and the eighth nation is, of course, Israel. I did not go into detail about the numbers, because I wanted to cover some more material concerning the lexicography, as it says on the lectures that this is really a lexicography, lexicographical studies on Amos. So, Lachen ko amar Adonai tzaru sviv haaretz v'horid mimech uzech v'navozu armonotayich. Tzaru sviv haaretz. Now we have a little problem with the verb usviv. Some people say that maybe it should be Lachen ko amar Adonai tzar yesovev haaretz. An enemy shall surround the land. Or unless this vav is vav explicativum. Vav explicativum, which means a vav hamevaeret, the vav which explains, and we had it many, many cases in Biblical Hebrew, which means Ine Adonai, Ine Hashem Tzar, Usiv Aretz Vuhu, Yesovev Et Aretz. Now we have a problem, of course, with this business of a beautiful simile, Ko amar Adonai kasher yatzir haro'im mipi ha'arish teker ha'ayim uvedal ozen, ken yenatzlu bnei Yisrael hayoshvim b'shomron bifat mita ubemesek ha'aretz. One of the most important verses and one of the most difficult expression, ubemesek ha'aretz. What is the simile over here? As a shepherd will rescue Shtek Ra'ayim Ubdal Ozen, which really means Shtek Ra'ayim Ubdal Ozen Smeri Izmus, which means when he will save nothing really, nothing which has been left from the lion, so the people of Israel will be saved in Samaria, meaning nothing is going to be left. Question is, of course, philologically, what does it mean? Bnei Yisrael ha-yoshvim b'shomron, okay, of course Samaria was the capital state. You know that Israel has three capital states. Started with Shechem, and then Penuel, and then Tirzah, and then Shomron, and of course the summer house in Israel, which we'll discuss it today. The summer house of the Israeli Ahav. And we'll discuss the summer home today. This is my thing that I'm working already for 5 years on my own. This business of summer and so. So, question is, of course, can in Aslub Bnei Yisrael Yoshvim B'Shomron, that are dwelling in Samaria, Bif'at Mita Uved Mesek Ares? Now, of course, what Pa'at Mita Uved Mesek Ares really means? Now, we know very clearly that Mita is always parallel to Ares. Now we're going to parent parallelism. Parent parallelism, my professor Alav Shalom used to say that the ancient biblical Israelis are two gods, Havdil Elef Havdil Havdalot. Yutke Vavke is in parallelism. He say Yakawism and parallelism. As Ibn Ezra would say Kefel Lashon. Now parallelism sometimes is so important to understand the verse that if you don't understand the second part of the verse, if you understand one word in the verse, you don't have to understand the second part in the verse, because the second part, the second letter of the second word of the verse, even it's not clear from the first one, you understand the second one, and that's Ibn Ezra called Kefel Lashon. Hayoshvim b'Shomron b'f'at mita u'v'dmeshek ares. Now, as I told you, that Mita and Eres are appears in parent parallelism, already in Amos 6.4. Please open it. You have the text of Amos? I gave you Amos 6.4. Ashochvim al mitot shen, usruhim al arsotam. Mita, parallel to Eres. Meaning, Mita is the A word and Eres is the B word. Inshallah, Be'ezrat Hashem, next year, if I will be invited, maybe we'll teach you some inscriptions for three sessions. Phoenicians, ancient Aramaic, and maybe Ugaritic. You will love it because it's very close to Hebrew. So, another case of Mitai parallel to Eres is in Tehillim, Psalm 6-7. Of course, you know the very famous Psalm. Open it, Psalm 6-7. Ashe bechol laila mitati. Bidim'ati arsi amse. I shall soak all the whole night my bed. You know, this is a very famous sick man that pray for healing from God. Bidim'ati arsi amse. Mita and Ares. So Mita is the A word, which means the daily word, and Ares is the biblical poetic word, A and B. This is very important. The B words are the poetic words. So if Mita is parallel to Ares, Pe'ah is to be parallel to parallel with Dimeshek. So in other words, if I say Ayoshvim b'Shomron b'f'at mita, in the corner, Pe'ah, let's discuss Pe'ah and let's go to Dimeshek, or Dimeshek, which is very, very difficult. Very difficult. What Amos means here? P'at mita means the corner or the side of the bed. Meaningly, you know, like if you see sometimes in the movie of the Romans, you know, which means he speaks about the high society of Israel. He doesn't speak only Bnei Israel, Ayoshvim B'Shomron, only Stam Bnei Israel. He speaks of the high society, Ayoshvim B'Shomron. Rabbi, maybe even those Ayoshvim B'Shomron means the Bnei Israel who ruled in Samaria. No, Stam Bnei Israel. This was the two glorious period historically was for Israel in Ahav. Yerovam HaShini. Because Yerovam HaShini was the one who was, three kings achieved the so-called, why I say so-called, the promised land, Mi'anahar V'ad HaNahar. David V'Shlomo, Yerovam, if you read Yerovam HaShini, and Alexander Yanai, Alexander Janaus. This Yerovam HaShini was D. That's why I didn't go into Amos in the society. This is who was D. Most affluent society after the time of Ahav, maybe the most highest in the economic field. Beautiful economy, expansion to the north, Etzion Gaver, to the south, Elat, and so on and so forth. That's why this promise, he was sent from Tkoa to the north to prophesize, specifically with the coming of the Assyria, as I told you in the beginning of the lecture. The whole world changed. Until Assyria came to power, Israel was responsible for itself. They could win a war against Aram, lose a war, Ma'alesh. When Assyria comes, the whole thing changes. And over here is really before the invasion of Tiglath-Pileser, the first time, the third, who comes to the north, like Aryeh Mesubocho, Ya'aleh Aryeh Mesubocho, but doesn't touch Samaria yet. And then Sargon comes, which then destroys. So Ayoshvim Be'Shomron, Lomda Bersam Al Bnei Israel, and he speaks about the high society, Bif'at Mita'ah V'Mesek Ha'aretz. At Mita means the corner or the side of the bed. We know that Pe'ah, which means a corner, and you know, a corner of the field, of course, Pe'ah, Leket Shecha, Pe'ah. Also, Pe'ah means a corner of a furniture. Take a look at Exodus, I'd say. Please, Shemot, Kaf Hei, Kaf Vav. What do we have there? Arba Pe'ot, Shulman, Shul HaShulchan. The four corners of the Shulchan. So we could speak about Pe'ah, about something Muhashi, something like Mitah, something like a lamp, Pe'ah. And of course, you're speaking also in Leviticus 13:41 about Pe'at Panav. Pe'at Panav. Which means the forehead. Now, in Akkadian, now Pe'at Amita, it's very clear, no problems. Pe'at Amita means the corner of the bed. Now,
which one is from Vayikra?
The Vayikra, please.
In 1341.
1341. 1341. Yud Gimel, Mem Aleph. Okay. No, I don't have a chalk. It's a gamba haya. This is small, could you? Any minute. Pe'at Amita, corner of the bed.
What's the standard translation to this?
Which standard translation?
These four words.
For Pe'at Amita?
Pe'at Amita, what do they have?
The corner of the bed.
And the Dimashik Aris, how do they
translate? In a minute I get to you.
No, I just mean like in the JPS, for example. What is
it? You go look at the JPS, though. Please.
It says, you have it?
Corner.
Oh, it says corner for both.
Okay. So it's corner for both.
Who stays from the lion to Shetechera Ayin and the Bedal Ozin.
Corner of the bed, corner of the Aris, also the same thing, the couch.
So how do you know the Dimashik means corner?
No,
I'm just saying,
that's how they...
Well, this is what I said in the beginning. Ibn Ezra said, Pe'ah, I mean, the Meshek.
Right.
But I want to know what Meshek means.
Right.
As my mother, Aliyah Shalom, says, you could live 120 years without knowing what Meshek means. So, of course, I give it care of it. So, Pe'at Amita. Now, Pe'at Amita, from the point of view of what you call realia in antiquity, this is Putu Sha'ershi. Putu is Pe'ah. Sha means shell. Ershi means what? Ares. Pe'at Ares. Ershi in Akkadian is a regular word for bed. Akkadian Ershi becomes Hebrew poetic because Akkadian doesn't have Mitah. Mitah for Akkadian is Mayalu. So Ershi and Mayalu, from Nalu, to sleep. So, Pe'at Amita, Putu Shar Ershi. Many, many times we have this business. Nalu.
Nalu?
Nalu, yes. Like to have an intercourse in Akkadian is Naku. Then you have an Arabic Nayak. Naku, Nalu. Nalu is to sleep, but you don't have this word in Hebrew. Not every word, not every word you have in Akenya, you have in Hebrew. Manase, nachnu. This is Putusha Ershi. Yeah, Putusha Ershi. I'll give you a text, for instance. Ershashu Putu Amarta Rukusma. Tie the white thread to the head and to the side of the bed. Ershashu Putu Amarta Rukusma. Rukusma means rachas, nirchos, which means to tie, rachas. Ershashu means ha'eres shelo. Putu and Amartu. Amartu is the head of the bed, and Putu is the side of the bed. Here is a very... So, Ershashu Putu Amarta Rukusma. Tie the white thread to the head and to the side of the bed. So you have the head of the bed and you have the side of the bed. So over here, it's very interesting, Bifat Mitah with Meshek Ares. A little hocus pocus get us somewhere. Now, the Meshek cannot be the Meshek, because the Meshek is written with the sin. With Meshek Ares, it cannot be in Hebrew, you have to have Ares the Meshek. No. But let me just say. One, if the beds were brought, as everybody says in the interpretation, really beautiful beds from Damascus and this and that, you'd expect in Hebrew, Uv'eres Damesek. You cannot have Damesek Eres. Eres Damesek. You have this and that you have, sure. This is simple Hebrew. Secondly, if it was Damesek, you would expect to have it with the sin, not with the shin. Now you have to show me once in biblical Hebrew, in post-biblical Hebrew, that the Meshek is played with the shin. Then I would say, oh, maybe you have seen it.
Is that ever ancient?
No, never.
Never.
Dimashq. It's a city that received a prominence in the 10th century, not before the 10th century. Damascus.
Yeah.
Received a prominence as a great city, started in the 11th or 11th, 10th century, before the year. Not before.
But this is the 8th century.
It's the
8th century.
100
years later. Yeah. And then is there an expression, Yitzkom Yitzamashek?
Never. Only the Meshek. The sin. The shin and the sin are interchangeable. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean, well, you have to show me that the shin and the sin are interchangeable in the shin and the Meshek.
Right, but you're still basing yourself on Ben Asher, Ben Naphtali. That's all I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is, Rabbi, that since Ben Asher, Ben Naphtali knows it is the Meshek, and knows that this Eres Damesek, and you solve the problem. Why did they put the dot on the right side, not on the left?
So they held differently,
obviously. Yeah, Mashu Sham, there was something there.
At that time, they held differently. Obviously.
Yeah.
You could bring it as some evidence, but I don't think that the Bible scholar is going to accept that you can use the right dot to finalize your proof.
No, sometimes, you see, sometimes you have to be very, very careful with those menakedim. Because those menakedim receive the text orally from one generation to another generation. So if they did it, they had a reason to it. Secondly, as I said before, you cannot say in Hebrew, Meshek Ares Yesha Ares Damesek, Mitat Shomron. Hayoshvim Bishomron Bifat Mitah Uved Meshek Ares. So what do you find...
Do you ever see the parallel of Shomron and Damesek?
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
Never.
Secondly, in the word Damesek, maybe there is a corruption there. And maybe this is a very difficult lesson, maybe Damesek over here has to parallel to Pe'ah, and with Damesek really has to send either for Uverosh of a shock. The Dalet and the Resh are interchangeable.
But that's much harder to do than the Shin and the Shin.
Let me finish. The Dalet and the Resh are interchangeable. I like to find something like in Akkadian, Ershashu Putu Amarta Rukusma. Tie the white thread to the head of the bed and to the side of the bed. I like to see that those people who are sitting in the head of the bed, Kalkeni Naslub Bnei Yisrael Yoshvim Bif'at Mita, in the corner of the bed, on the side of the bed, and in the head of the bed. Or, I would like to see. Al ken yinaslu bnei Yisrael yoshvim bif'at mita, or in the side of the bed, which is domestic mita. What happens really here, if it happens? That the dalet and the resh are interchangeable. They have we call it conflation. Pay attention, be with me, please. If you like it, you could have it. If you don't, just leave it. But I want to go ahead because I have other good material. The dalet and the resh are interchangeable. We know it in Kriyat Ktiv, no problems. Absolutely no problems. You know the dalet and the resh are interchangeable. Vayera al kanfei ruach, vayedi al kanfei... No, in the Kriyat Ktiv, good. The mem and the shin are interchangeable, you know? The mem and the shin are interchangeable. Now the dalet and the resh are interchangeable because of the Phoenician script, you know? This is the dalet. You turn it around, becomes a delta. In Greek, which is the borrow from us, or from the Phoenician. And this is the resh. Uh-huh. The little chupchik over here. This is the mem. And this is the shin, and this is the mem. In ancient Hebrew. So it's chupchik. Okay? So, it could be some conflation over here. It's not far-fetched. It could be some conflation. Hayoshvim b'mita uv'rosh o uv'shok. Conflation means that rosh and shok comes together in the same word. Hayoshvim b'shomron b'f'at mita o uv'rosh ares, o hayoshvim b'shomron b'rosh mita o uv'shok ares.
Either or?
Uv'rosh? Either uv'rosh or uv'shok. I would prefer Berosh. Why? Because of the Akkadian Ershashu and Amartu, which means the head and the side of the bed. The head of the bed is the... Remember, Yaakov...
How did you get an Akkadian?
Amartu. Amartu comes from the word Amaru.
The verse in the 30th
Ershashu Putu, Amarta Rukusma. Tie the white thread to the head of the bed. The head, tie the white thread to the head and the side of the bed. Remember Rosh Amitah with Yaakov?
Yeah. Right.
You know, before he gave the blessing.
Yeah.
Rosh Amitah.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to go, but I don't mean to further this. I want to continue. So, this is an interesting conflation. Maybe it could be a conflation over here. I prefer a conflation over here than the Meshek, which means Damesek, Ares. Shim'u ba'idu בבית יעקב נאום השם, אדוני רצמו, כי ביום פוקדי פשעי ישראל עליו ופקדתי על מזבחות בית אל ונגדעו קרנות המזבח ונפלו הארץ. Of course, בית אל, as you know, was the main city in Samaria, and you have the worship, the Thor Ilu there. Remember, I gave you Hosea last time about it? Hosea? I think I did. Bet El was the head or center of worshiping the god El. Now, the god El is not El Shelanu as the generic name El, but the chief god of the Canaanite pantheon, El. Now, in Hosea, for instance, we know very clearly, if you open Hosea, let me just remind you a little bit, it says about over here, yes, speak about Bet El, the chief place of the worship of the god El, which in Hosea is described to us very clearly and beautifully the following. I gave it to you last time, if I'm not mistaken, but since some other people were not here, we'll give the goodies again. And of course, I cannot find my feet and my leg in this Bible, because I know I have it, you know, for the places, you know, I know where it's down, and so I think it's Perek Het. Perek Het, yes. Yeah, Perek Het, yeah. Perek Het. Chapter 8, verse 5. Zanah eglech shomron. Hara apibam. Shomron, your calf neglects you. Hara apibam ad matai lo yochlu nikayon, until when they cannot cleanse themselves. Now. כי מישראל והוא חרש עשהו ולא אלוהים הוא כי שבבים יהיה עגל שומרון. Now, I know that you're very inquisitive. What's your name, please?
Rani.
Kimi Israel. Remember this, Rabbi? Vuhu harash asau. Velo. Elokimu. Kishvavim ye'ayir shomron. Kimi Israel. Means very little. I make the whole story short because I have some more material to cover here. Kimi. Shor. El. Who is this bull El? And a craftsman made it. Velo Elhu. He's not a god. Kishvavim ye'ayir shomron. One of the epithets of El, Thor Ilu, is a bull. Why? Fertility. He's the chief god of the Canaanite pantheon. And we know that El, in the face of bull from the art of the ancient Near East, no problem. Maybe you should invite my wife to speak about some rabbi. Ancient Near East, in the arts, it's beautiful. No, I'm very serious about it. Thor El, he's with a bull. The whole idea of Maaseh Aigel and so on and so forth. But over here, very clearly, Ken, Biyom Pogdi Ken, Ufagai Mishbechot Bet El, Venigdiau Karnot HaMishbeach Venafluza. So, Shomron and Bet El, always is Shomron Bet El, never Shomron in Damasek. Shomron and Bet El, the two main center cities of the worship of what you call the synchronized religion at the time of worshipping Hashem and Habaal at the same time. As Eliyahu says, Mi Lashem Lashem, Mi Ba'al Ba'al, Kulam Etem Poshtim Al Shnei Shalpim. There was synchronized religion, clearly, in Israel. Ma Koreh Achshav LeBet El, the center city. So you see, he went from Samaria, which is Samaria was the center city, the capital of the Israelis from the point of view of secular life, to the religious life of the Israelis, Bet El, Babamot LeBet El, Lo Lashem. Don't forget, there was no centralization of the ritual at that time. Abamot lebet le'el, for God El. V'nigdi'u kanot ha-mizbeach v'naflu la'aretz. Now he says that he's going to completely annihilate the rich people. No, let me. I'm sorry.
Don't say that. Bet El is the religious center as opposed to Shomron, which is more the...
The secular center. The administrative capital of Israel.
And these bamot that are being broken are bamot that are to... The regular polytheistic Canaanite god, that's
what you said. Yes. I would like to answer as much as I can, but I want to give you some more material, at least that I know that I earned my money. V'hikiti bet ha-horef al bet ha-kayitz v'avdu batei ha-shen v'safu batim rabim ne'umadon. Bet ha-horef al bet ha-kayitz. Now here you hear something very interesting. You hear over here a case that he says that he is going to destroy the summer house and the winter house. Now, Rabbi Shammah knows already my theory, but if I ask you what is the summer house, what is the winter house? Where is the summer house, what is the winter house? Ve'avdu batei Hashem, ve'safu batim rabim. Let's take it from the top. Let's take it from the top, ve'safu batim rabim. Anybody wants to translate? Safu means to become to an end. To be destroyed, ma'amila sof. Then the verb is safa. Svot haravam. What do you mean batim rabim? Many houses, right? Wrong. Anybody? Great houses. Which means palaces. Palaces. He speaks about bat ha'kayitz. Speak about bet ha'horef, summer house, winter house. The rich have it. I have a winter house, other house. I have hardly an apartment in Washington Heights. and then he speaks about Batim Rabim. So, Olech min haprat es kasuta would say, el akelal. Sometimes Olech min haklal el haprat. Bet ha-kayitz, bet ha-horef, batei Hashem, Batim Rabim. Great palaces. Bait means a palace. Now, let's start from the top, from Batim Rabim. From Batim Rabim. Batim Rabim means exactly as we said it. And it means in Akkadian two things. Bitu Rabu, the whole idea of Bait Rav It's interesting to know this is the idea is a Sumerian idea. In Sumerian, you speak about a house as E. E is a house, which is, in the lexical text, in Akkadian is B2, and B2 is a byte. In Sumerian, Gal means big. In Akkadian is Rabu. Sumerian Egal means a palace, which becomes in Akkadian Ekalu, which becomes in Hebrew Echal. He Chal. Egal. But this is the etymological equivalent. Etymological equivalent. Egal, Ekalu, Echal. The semantic equivalent. You remember I speak about the semantic and the etymological? The semantic equivalent of A is B2. And how you translate B2 Rabu? Batim Rabim. I said, no, Bahaya. We have to be a genius for this. What is it? Beautiful. Well, not only this, you have also in Akkadian, Ekalatu, Sennacherib always speaks about his achievement in the administration of building Nineveh. Ekalatu Rabutu. Plural. Plural. Bitu Rabu is singular, Ekalatu Rabutu. Echalim Gdolim. So, let us go back now. Let me give you one example. Let me give you one example. Isaiah, please. Isaiah 5:9. So you see, Rabbi, I think Bnei Yisrael are Yishuvim B'Shomron. The lost time Bnei Yisrael. I think the high society. I just thought about it now. I didn't even... Eleh Yishuvim B'Fat Mitah V'Rosh Ares. You know, the... Stabhin, you know, Stabhin. Yeah, they have the mafraj like the Jews of Yemen.
In other words, Yosef might have meant the ruling class.
Right.
May not have meant sitting on the throne. It might have meant sitting, the ones who rule.
Isaiah 5:9. Im lo batim rabim leshama yihyu. Gedolim vetovim me'en yoshev. What do you have over here? Beautiful. Batim rabim, palat gedolim vetovim. What does it mean, tovim? Oh, can I go into it much? Tovim means improved, embellished.
Renovated
homes. Very well, you know what? Heitiva b'rtzoncha et Zion, tivnei chomot Yerushalayim. Heitiva b'rtzoncha et Zion means you should improve Zion from the architectural point of view. Lo stam heitiva b'rtzoncha et Zion. Tivnei chomot Yerushalayim, kefel lashon. And I cannot go into it. I'm going to go into it now. Now I'm going to go into it. The last time, improve it, literally embellish it. I mean, b'china fizit. In a minute you'll see I'm going to give an inscription in a minute. So Batim Rabim, now let's go back to Batei Hashen. Now Batei Hashen means ivory houses, but they do not mean ivory houses, because you do not build an ivory house. You build a house which is paneled with ivory slabs.
You have an expression, ivory palaces.
It's from here.
Okay.
But it's from here. I am the professor who sits in my ivory palace. It's right from here. Mefo lakhu et ze Shakespeare v'kol hagoyim al dechmei mipo. Lakhu hakol meitanu gam et ze. Batei Hashen, I've worked on it, I've written 10 pages on this, in reference to Migdal Hashen with David in Shir HaShirim. Migdal Hashen shel David. Remember David Migdal Hashen? Apech ki Migdal Hashen? So, but Batei Hashen, ivory palaces, are very, very typical to Samaria. I cannot go into details of what they found archaeologically in Samaria. The ivory slabs in Samaria, a whole book was written about it. Ivory slabs from Samaria. By the curator of the British Museum. Yes. Shenhav. The Shenhavim, you know what Shenhav means? Hav means, anybody? Elephant. In Sanskrit. The Targum Yonatan translates Shenhabim, Kufim, Bitukiyim, Sishlomo, as Shena Defila. Shenpil. I cannot go into it, please. Don't Yes. Most probably in Shlomo, Shenhav is menomism. I don't think the Shenhavim that he brought means the ivory. I think he brought the pilim. Because he speaks about Shenhavim, Kofim, Bitukiyim. The Shenhav means a menomism. Menomism that you take a part of something to mean the something itself, the whole thing, yeah. But I cannot go into it. Yeah, I'm writing on it now. So, Migdal HaShen, it's very interesting to look at Migdal HaShen in Shir HaShirim. What period of time? Shlomo HaMelech, mi yachol ha'asot Migdal HaShen? Slabs, you know, beautiful, you know, panels and this and that. Mi yachol ha'asot? Take a look at 2 Kings 22:39. 2 Kings 22:39. Very important. I'm sorry, I misquoted somewhere. With Ahav, anyhow, you could check it later on. Speaks about Ahav banayit batei Hashem. And that's batei Hashem that Amos means no more in Samaria. Which means the ivory palaces. Not the ivory, but palaces which are ivory inserted in. Like it's up, okay? You know, the panels, ivory. Ivory. Batei Hashem, v'chol batei Hashem asher achar asher. The whole book. The whole book, the ivory slabs of Samaria. The image. We have it from the archaeology, material archaeology, and we have it also from the writing. Now, of course, you would speak about batei Hashem, and also you speak about what, Rabbi? Hechale Hashem. Where? I hope I'm quoting now, Psalms 45:9, the very famous Kvuda Bat Melech Pnima. Maybe this psalm was written in the time of Ahav and not of time Shlomo. There was a very debate with this psalm when it was written. Psalm 45, Tehillim, Mem A, 9. Yes, Hechale Hashem, ivory palaces. So architecturally speaking over here of the ivory palaces of the rich and also ivory palaces of the king. From this, let's go now back to Bet HaKayitz, to Bet HaChorif. And I want to distribute some thing for you, please. Period of time of Amos 745 before the era, finish an Aramaic inscription, an ancient Aramaic inscription of the time of Ahav, who spoke Aram Damasek, Aram Tshuva. I'm going to read the inscription like I read it in Hebrew because I cannot do it in Aramaic now. It's going to take some time with the vocalization. Anna.
What is that? 745.
Time of Amos. Anna Bar Rakib. I'm Birakib, Bar Panamua, the son of Panamua, Melech Samal, the king of Samal, Eved Tiglat Pileser, the vassal of Tukiltu, Apilasharra. This is when Tiglat Pileser invaded Israel. Then time, I'm giving you like the New York Times of the period. You know, a year less here, what do you want? Let's not be yeked, you know. But it's Israel, Tiglat Pileser, Amor. By the way, you know that my PhD dissertation was on these inscriptions, and I've published 6 or 7 articles on it in various periodicals. My dissertation was not in the Tanakh. I have it, and I've treated this inscription in Orientalia. It is a periodical that comes in the Vatican. I have it, Tiglat Pileser Mara Rivai Arka, the king of the four quarters of the earth. Melech Arba Kanfot Aretz. Becedek Aviu Vichitki, because of the loyalty of my father, Rabbi, loyalty, and the loyalty of myself, Hoshivani Mari Rechavel, my master Rechavel, Hoshivani, Hoshivani Mari Rakibel, Umari Tiglal Pireser Arkisavi, the king Rechavel, my master, and the king Tiglat Pileser, my master, Hoshivani al kise, exactly in Amos. I mean, the New York Times, man, I mean, even the New York Post. Al kise avi, you know, he asked me to succeed my father. The beautiful inscription, 745 before the era. Of course, it's written in ancient day script. Uvet avi amel min kol. And the dynasty, Bet Avi, and the dynasty of my father, toiled from everybody else, which means toil, as a vassal king to a major king. Veratz begalgel mar'i melech Ashur, and I was the slave of my king, the king of Assyria. Veratzti begalgal, remember with Avshalom, ratzu lifnei merkava, which means exactly like in the movie with Clint Eastwood, that running after, you know, the limousine of the, you saw the Clint Eastwood movie, very famous movie? What was the name? You know, it was an old, and then back to Kennedy. La Ruch, you know, Razi Begalgal, what do you think? Olam Ishtana? They're running after the limousine, you know? Like him, he's a vassal. Bemtziat Melachim Rav Revim, among great kings, Melachim Rav Revim, Ba'ale Kesef, Uba'ale Zahav, Ve'ahaz, Bet Avi, Rabbi Vihitafto. I took a hold the house, the palace of my father, and I renovated it. Min Aramaic. Zot Aramit lifnei Aramit Amikra'it. This is the most ancient Aramaic, which from the 10th century that I dealt with it. 10th century to the 7th. Which is Mishprachen, mixed language between Hebrew, Canaanite, and Aramaic. This is before Aramaic becomes Aramaic that you know from the from okay, the Hitavter. And I improved it min bet had malkan bet min bet had malachin ravravin. From one of those I improved it more than any other great kings. You know, they always boast. Vit Na'abu Ahai Malchaya, and the kings, my allies, Rabbi, Ahai. You have to believe me when I say. I don't know, I don't invent it when I lectured about the Ahim business. Here, Malchaya, Itna'abu, they envied me. Why they envied? Take a look, a whole gig. Being Rakib was a great king. Take a look, it's like a little child, right? A little inscription. No, this is now. I cannot go into it, please, Rabbi. Believe me, right. Na'abu means
every other word up to here.
Mata cholas. Here is Aramaic. Itna'abu, Ahai Malchaya. If I would teach you this inscription, it would take me about three or four sessions really to analyze it, compare it with other inscriptions. Yes. Itna'abu Ahai Malchaya lechol mata vad beti. They enviate for the improvement of my house. Uveitav layash laisha. And an improved house, a good house, they did not have. La ishu in Akkadian. Lo yesh. Rabbi, in Aramaic, la itai. Here, it's discussed, you know, this sheen here is still very close to Canaanite. Uvetav laisha, they don't have. Laisha la abahi malchesamal. And a great house, an improved house, was not to my forefathers, the kings of Samal. Ha bet Kilamua, the house or the palace of Kilamua, which means a very famous king right before Birakib. Habit Kalamua Lahem Fa. It was Bet Sitwa Lahem Veha Bet Kaitsa. They had a winter and summer. They didn't have a summer home, you know, special, like, you know, like, whatever. I take a look how they write Kaitsa instead of Aramaic Kaita with a Kuf and Yut and Tet. You see the transition. This is what I love. You know, I get excited from this. My wife says, Maria says, Dalia says, I get excited from this. Some people get excited from something else. I get. Because, you know, I'm in the midst of the 7th century. You know, I'm very serious about it.
The modern Hebrew, you know, like the biblical Hebrew,
you're reading a text from the 7th century, I mean 8th century. So, but as for me, Benet Beitazna, I have built this house. Now, ladies and gentlemen, where are the ladies here? Gentlemen. Here's a question. What does he mean? What kind of... No, he's like one of the greatest kings. They look like infantile guys. The loyal I'm by it. I have a better... In scriptures, no, this you want? This you want to compare to Amos? This you want to compare to Amos? That's the whole my whole idea that I brought to you. Amos uses the style, but what a comparison.
Right, but when I asked you before you started the lecture, you wouldn't find in the ancient literature the Daikanut. This we wouldn't call it literature. An inscription is one thing.
This is royal inscription.
This is a royal inscription.
Yeah, this is what you call a royal inscription. We don't have an Aramaic, I cannot go into it, but Aramaic did not have what you call literature like the Akkadian, wisdom, you know. Only inscription fight, royal inscription, Phoenician, this, with the head, of course, but we don't, that lost.
The winter in the summer house gets less value than his one.
No, he says that for the kings of my fathers, they have a house which really serves as a winter and a summer house. Lachaish Bait, the Ocean Parkway. Ugam Bechore, Ugam Bechaista, Yoshev Sham. אבל לא למשל, יש לו בית פה בישון פרקוי ואחר כך בדיל, אני לא יודע איפה, הוא סאמר אז, הולך בקיץ. I don't know you, maybe, that's not the point. The point is that Birakib, Bar Rekub, and we have also his statue, beautiful, you know, you see his face, Birakib says that he built what? The summer house. Winter house, you take for granted that they have. The luxury thing is, the motarot is the summer house. And he wrote this whole inscription for V'ikiti betachoref al betakaitz, v'avdu bateh Hashem, v'safu batim rabim neum Hashem. We can learn history, you could leave historical architecture from this little verse. Now let me say something about betakaitz and betachoref. This is a chidush of mine, which I did not write yet. But if you bear with me, I'm going to show you something that you'd like. About the summer house and the winter house. Amos. Perek Vav, Vakasha, please. Amos, Vav. Verse. Yes. Verse 11. Ki hineh Adonai mitzaveh. Amos. Vihika, by the way, bet kites and bet horef. Okay. Ki hineh Adonai mitzaveh. Vihika habayit ha-gadol resisim v'habayit ha-katon bekirim. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my chidush. Please don't sell it. I need to write it. Bet ha-kites v'habayit ha-katon. Bet HaChorev is a Bait HaGadol. People did not understand it until today what Amos means by Bait HaKatan. Chashu Bait Katan, Bait Gadol. The summer house is a Bitanu. It's the Bitan Ginat HaMelech. A small house. Relatively to the palace. Not a small house, you know, like you have here. You know. You. But small relatively. No, pavilion. Apadana. As the Persian would say, the Apadana of Cyrus. And the whole architecture is often colonnaded. It's, you know, it's an amazing... Anyhow, what Amos says here. Abayta katon,
betakai.
Abayta gadol, tachore. To make the whole story short, איפה הבית הגדול? סמריה. איפה הבית הקטן? ישראל. מה עשה? עשתה איזבל בשביל לבות. בשביל מה? בשביל קרם? She need the royal garden. She need the royal garden. She need the space. And Israel was the summer house and winter house. Israel and Shomron. Safu batim rabim. Complete annihilation. In Akkadian, yeah, I cannot go into it. I cannot sell you everything. You know? I keep selling. No, I'm just kidding. This is a tour, you know, if Sarhadon. This is a whole big. Azat Hashem, when my book will come out, I will share it with you. This is very complicated. I have some more things to say over here. It's a lot of material yet. But I did not finish with the Beit HaKadosh. Why I bring it? Because I like usually to study the Bible from the realia point of view. איך היו החיים, the Jitchim Leben? What was it, you know? And from here you could learn so much, specifically about the movement from Israel, you know, that Israel was never, ever a capital. רק בגלל איזבל הוא עשה לקפיטל. It's exactly the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar built the hanging royal garden for his wife, Nakia Zakuti. Nakia, Nikia, and Zakuti from Zaha. It seems to be that she was לא, נקיה זקותי, סארי, נקיה זקותי הייתה אשתו של סנחריב. Anyhow, Nebuchadnezzar built the hanging royal garden according to the post-Babylonian sources, the Greek sources, for his wife, the Medes. And he did it in hanging, like mountains. She came from the Medes, from the mountains of Taurus, you know, there, where the Kurdistan is. So, that's the whole background of the killing of Nevot, ladies and gentlemen, or gentlemen, nothing but. Arasta Kerem, Izebel, you know who's Izebel? Granddaughter of Ahiram Melech Tzor. Abba Shela Ito Baal. Aron Zu Paol Ito Baal Ben Ahiram La Ahiram Aviyu Kishati U Baolami. That's quoted you from the inscription of Ahiram, the very famous Ahiram of Melech Tzor. Aron Zu, this sarcophagus. Paol Ito Baal, Ito Baal Di, this Phoenician inscription, the ancient, most ancient Phoenician inscription of the 10th century. Paol Ito Aron Zu, Paol Itobaal, I'm sorry, a sarcophagus which Itobaal made, Paal, not Asa, Aron Zu, Paol Itobaal, you're right, Bet Olam there, Be Olam. Anyhow, be it as it may, that is Evel. Princess, grandfather Ahiram, father Itobaal, great kings, Baal, Ahim Ahav, you know, diplomatic marriage. Ashnu kahar, what he had, a little palace in Shomron. They said, what, are you crazy? My father, take a look at the beautiful gardens that he had. I don't know what kind of gardens he had, but in my little imagination. On the beach of the Mediterranean, mani po, yeshev lecha kol hayom b'chevron im nevi'ah, ba'al, Eliyahu, Shmiliyahu, let me have. And where she was killed, in Israel, by Yehu. Shamtua me'achalon. Here they are, you know, beautiful, this beautiful Beit HaKayitz. Overlooking, I was there in Zara'in, on the top of the hill I was. I went with my brother-in-law, he's an archaeologist in the university, in the University of Tel Aviv. I went to Zara'in, it's an Arab village. Overlooking, I make Israel, what a beautiful, beautiful royal garden they had. And I'm clear, right I am. Extrapolate, that's it. Now, it's not a tourist site? No. Ushishkin excavated there. But Ushishkin doesn't know my dissertation yet. Okay, we know also, once more this I'll finish, we know also about Bet HaChoref. In Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 36:22. Yoyakim, Vamelech Yoyakim, Yoshev Bet HaChoref, Bachodesh HaTshi'i, Veta'ach Lefanav Mivaharet. If he had Bet HaChoref, he had Bet Kites. And I'm discovering these Bet Kites now in my work. So, we are.
There was a Bet Kites also in that Jerusalem area.
Yeah. I'll share it with you. Let me see. I don't know what to do. How much? I have so much material. Okay, I'm going to give you Israel. I make Israel. In Wadi Arab, as it were. Northeast. Haifa, Carmel. You remember that Eliyahu, remember the very famous scene that Eliyahu departed from Ahav, and Ahav took the Merkava and was going forward by Sheneset Modnar, and he came to Israel from the mountain of Carmel, you know, after the incident. Derech Wadi Ara. No, he went later on to Sinai, was it? Horeb. I'm going to do two more things with you, which will take me maybe 20 minutes, half an hour. I'm not going to go to the small little thing. I'm going to go to two important things. One is, I think you like it. One is a far text. One is a very difficult problem in Perek Hay, please. That Akkadian really clears it completely, exactly as Akkadian clear the business of Shamaru to rage, remember? And here we are. Shim'u, Perek Aleh, hey, I'm reading the Perek. Shim'u et ha-davar, because I'm going to discuss in this Perek two things. Shim'u et ha-davar hazeh, anochi noseh alech, ha-davar hazeh, asher anochi noseh alechem kinna bet Yisrael. Nafla lo tosifkum betulat Yisrael. Nicha'al anwata en mikima. Rabbi, this is the style of the Echa. Kicho amak, because of the kina. Kicho amar Adonai Elohim. Ha'ir ha-yotzet elef tashir me'ar, ha-yotzet me'ar tashir asara, lebet Yisrael. יכוע אמר אדוני לבית ישראל, דרשוני וחיו, ואל תדרשו בית האל, והגלגל לא תבואו, ובאר שבע לא תעבורו, כי הגלגל גלו יקלהו, ובית אל יהיה לאבן, דרשו את אדוני וחיו, פן יצלח כאש בית יוסף, ובערה ואין מחבל לבית אל. This I will discuss this פסוק later. And he continues, ההופכים ללענה משפט וצדקה לארץ, הניחו, עושה חימה וכסיל והופך לבוקר צל מוות ויום לילה החשיך, הקורא למי הים וישפכם על הארץ, אדוני שמו. המבליג שוד על עז ושוד על מבצר יבוא. שנאו בשער מוכיח ודובר תמים יתעבו. No problem, as far as Hebrew is concerned, he goes. לכן יען בו שסכם על דל, ומסעד בר תקחו ממנו בתי גזית בניתם ולא תשבו בם. כרמי חמד נטעתם, צריך להיות כרמי חמר כמובן. Means kramim of wine, not hamed. What hamed has to do with kramim? Karmi hamer, Rabbi. Neta'atem ve lo tishtu et yenam, ki yada'ati rabim pishrechem. Yeah, but you know, karmi hamer, which really means, you see, this is about the gazit. It speaks about kerem shel yain.
You find karmi hamed anywhere else?
So, yes.
Hamed?
Hamer.
No, but not karmi hamed anywhere.
I don't know, I think in Ishaiah, but anyhow. ולא תשתו את ינם, you see, כרמי חמד, ולא חמר לא תשתו את ינם, זה ברור. כי ידעתי רבים פשעכם ועצומים חטאותכם, צורי צדיק לקוחי כופר ואבונים בשער איתו, עד פה. לכן יען על בושסכם על דל. One of the most difficult פסוקים, after Damascus and after שמרה, the word, word. Now, בושסכם. פסוק י"א. See how much you're losing, how much material prepared. בושסכם. By the way, Rabbi, לכן יען, forget about it. Impossible. Either לכן or יען. מה זה לכן יען? שמענו דבר כזה. Never in the Hebrew Bible is לכן יען. Other יען, לכן. Gloss. Gloss. It's a glossa. Once, we had two versions, most probably, of the prophecy. One it says Lachen, one it says Ya'an. The editor took the whole thing, whoever was the editor. No idea if it's Lachen or Ya'an. He doesn't have the idea of footnotes. Today, Sofrim, later on, Kvar Yadu, I used to mean on the margin. the Sofrim, נכון? This poor, לא יודע לעשות footnotes. Footnote number one, like you know my article too. So he says, I don't know which version is correct. Incorporate both versions. Bye-bye. Same thing is Rosh or Shof, Harris. It's a conflation there. אני כמעט בטוח. טקסט אחד של עמוס אמר ראש ערס, the head of the bed. טקסט אחד שני אמר שוק ערס. מה שוק? The leg of the bed.
Now because you have the Kira'ayim in the first
place. Yeah.
Play. Now. Is the remnant of the head, but the end of the head.
I didn't think of it.
But you have the Bedal Ozen and the Kira'ayim.
Could be. לאן על בושה שכם על דל. Nobody knows what to do with this בושה שכם. What is three layers of the root over here? בשה שם, בית שין סמך, בשס, בית שין סמך, בשס. Okay, usually the people, usually if you look at the commentaries, they take it from the word בוס בסס. בוס, from the word בוס בסס. Now בוס בסס, let me tell you the whole story. Bus means, of course, to trample on. Take a look at Isaiah 14:25. Shayahu, let's do it first because I have some goodie to end with this series of lecture. Isaiah 14:25. Lishbor Ashur be'artzi ve'al haray avusenu. I shall trample on him. So this word bus is attested two more times in Isaiah 63:6 and in Tehillim 60:14, which we're not going to look at from the word bus. But of course the difficulty is that how could Al Moshe Shem, the Shin and the Samech over here. Clearly it is an Akkadian word that means in Akkadian Shabashu. Hold your horses. Shabashu. Now you know what Shabashu means, gentlemen? Shabashu in Akkadian means to collect either a straw tax or a grain tax. Take a look at the clothes. Take a look at the clothes. לכן יען בושתכם על דל ומסעת בר תיקחו ממנו. This is a bomb, an atomic bomb. Now let me, I'm going to explain to you. Hold it. So בושתכם cannot be בית בושתכם, but has to be יען על שובסכם. To be translated, because you collected a straw tax, because you took a grain tax. It's a social thing there, they lost stamp. Akkadian Shabasu, and this becomes what you call a metathesis. Sikul otiot. Like keves kesev, sim la salma, and whatnot. Shov sechem. שומרכם, אוכלכם, מה הבעיה? Beautiful. To collect grain tax. Akkadian text. אנשים שיבישים שחלציה. I have not neglected the collecting from Terka of the barley text in ARM. The noun שיבשו means the grain tax itself. Shabashu means to collect grain tax. And Akkadian shibshu means the straw tax itself. What you have here, you have a beautiful thing. Hapax legomenon, that's the only ones here, that Akkadian clarifies and gives you a whole different world. Specifically, in parallelism to Mas'ad Bar. מה אתם רוצים יותר מזה? מה יש יותר מזה? What do you mean? What do you mean Tanakh Yosef? No. No, it's a hapax. Hapax.
No,
of course. You could have it in Mishnei Kibru. Mishnei Kibru, if you have it in Mishnei Kibru, it's beautiful. It lost, it went to the Bible, but only in one word, but it via. It's also a course that... What? Ya'an lachen? No. No, it's a midrash, Rabbi Berry. I'm sorry. Nahnu and Sheikh Ibn Ezra. Yes. What? It's either Yan or Lachen, as you want. Lachen is old, Yan is old. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an article that I wrote 20 years ago in 1976.
When you were 22?
Oh, I wish. I'm 56 now. So, okay. I want with this article to summarize the entire series of lectures, and I'm going to read the article with you. Forget about the footnotes. The article is concerning the usage of Amos, and I clarified something over here that I'm being quoted all over concerning this little word. You know that I deal only with words, lexicography. It is pertaining to Amos Perekei, please, everybody. Amos Perekei, verse 6. Dirshu et Adonai v'hiyu, pen yitzlach ka'esh bet Yosef, v'achla ve'en mechabel bet el. I'm reading the article with you, and please be with me. Hebrew tzalach is etymologically equated by most lexica with Aramaic, by most Hebrew and Aramaic lexica with the Aramaic verb tzalach, to split. This equation is based mainly on the biblical verse v'tzalchu et hayarden and the expression tzalach ruach al el. BDB, on the other hand, divides the Hebrew verb tzalach, one, which is Aramaic tzalach, to split, to cleave, to rush, tzalach, two, Aramaic, to prosper, to advance. The distinction between the two verbs, as well as the etymologies proposed above, are open to questions. Please look at me in the text. A. While tzalach, to split, is attested only in Aramaic and Syriac, there is no clear indication that the biblical Hebrew tzalach originally denotes to split. B. One would have expected Targum Yonatan to render the biblical expression v'tzalchu et hayarden by either tzalach, to split, or the most common Aramaic verb bazah. Interestingly enough, Targum Jonathan renders here the Gazu Yardena. Salhut Yarden, Gazu Yardena. They pass the Jordan with speed. C. Based on the above Aramaic equation, some biblical expression employing the verb tzalach cannot sufficiently be explained. D. It is difficult to accept the alleged semantic development of tzalach to cleave, to split to cleave, tzalach to prosper. How do you explain? How do you expect to semantically understand tzalach to cleave, to split, tzalach to prosper? Next, to understand fully the various meaning of tzalach, an inductive method. Why I read this article with you? Because whatever I taught you for the last three sessions, this is the summary of the entire method. Specifically when I deal with Amos. To understand fully the various meaning of tzalach, an inductive method disclosing the semantic origin of the verb and its lexical relation to the other Semitic languages is required, rather than the use of the sheer etymological approach. Shaul Lieberman, alav shalom, has indicated that the LXX, Septuagint, renders the expression "Vatitzlah alav ruach Hashem" by the Greek. Anybody could read Greek over here, which means to pass through, to go fast. It is obvious, he says, that the Targum, Septuagint, understood the verb "tzalach" as an equivalent of "kafatz," to jump, to leap. He points out further that "tzalach," meaning "kafatz," is well attested in rabbinic literature. You have footnote number 8 there. Thus, it would seem that Lieberman's observation, tzalach equal kafatz, kafaz, makes it improbable to equate the semantic Semantically, Hebrew tzalach in v'tzalchu et ha'yarden and v'tzalach alav ruach Adonai, with the Aramaic verb tzalach to split. Similarly, in the Piyutim, whereas pointed out by Hanoch Yalon, the verb is a great scholar. The verb tzalach equal kafatz equal mahar lemaher equal ba. Yes, to come. Hanoch Yalon.
I'm saying, where's Ba come into the point? We said Kafat Mahir.
And Ba. Hanoch Yalon in number 9, if you read Hanoch Yalon, he equates Salah with Kafat, with Maher and Ba. And he goes to the great details there. Mm-hmm. It's in footnote number 9. You could go and read it. Hanoch Yalon, the verb Salah, denotes to pass, proceed with speed. The semantic development of Hebrew Salah is then as follows: to proceed, pass, to go with speed, to advance, to progress, to prosper, to succeed. And it should be, in all probability, be kept apart from the Aramaic hamanim tzalach, to split. This calls to mind the semantic development of Akkadian esheru shushuru, semantic equivalent, to proceed, to march, to go straight towards, which means later to advance, prosper, thrive, succeed. It is the purpose of this paper to study some other usages of the Hebrew tzalach hatzlach in the light of Akkadian esheru, which is tzalach, shushuru, hif'il, ushaf'il. At the outset, it should be stressed that the exact semantic and etymological equivalent of Akkadian harana esheru shushuru is yashar hosher derech. Haranu in Akkadian is derech. Rabbi, haran, Adam, you know, haran, shall Yaakov. No different in function is the meaning of the Hebrew expression atzlach derech, hosher derech, atzlach derech, to cause one way to succeed, prosper. That is Akkadian urha, Hebrew orah, harana, Hebrew haran, padana, Hebrew padan, padan aram, esheru, shushuru, shuteshuru, is to be equated not only with Hebrew yashar, hosher derech, orah ma'agal, but also with Hatzlach Derech. See what I'm doing over here? Similarly, Akkadian Kipsu Isharu, Harana Ishartu, corresponds to Hebrew Derech Orach Yashar Mishor, successful path, as well as late Hebrew Derech Tzlecha. Another correspondence between Akkadian Esheru and Hebrew Tzalach may be seen in the expression Inashipir lipit kati idi esheru shushuru. Hebrew, hatzlach b'maaseh yad. Hatzlach b'maaseh, hatzlach b'yad. To cause, to be successful in one's undertaking. Alongside the above, usage of Akkadian esheru is specifically employed in reference to thriving of crops. Esheru is particular in a sense immediately calls to mind the attestation. The attestation immediately calls to mind the only attestation of biblical Hebrew tzalach in Ezekiel 79:10, in this very meaning. The crops prosper. Such is also the case in post-biblical literature. Particularly relevant here is the Aramaic expression atzlach zara'a afla harpa, which semantically is the exact correspondence of the Akkadian she'u, upulu, harpu shushuru, to cause late barley to thrive. Afla ki afilot hena, Akkadian apalu, to be late. Furthermore, the Akkadian idiom esheru eli, to proceed straight towards, against, shautuku lemnu elushulu esheru, towards whom the evil demon proceeded, O kakum murtapidum elishu lishir, may the pursuing weapon go straight towards him. I didn't put it. Maybe I'm sure now. 20 years later. Is the semantic equivalent to Hebrew tzalach al, as well as the late Hebrew kafatz al, to rush upon. Kafsa alav hazikna, tzalcha alav hazikna. In the light of the above Akkadian Hebrew semantic correspondence, the clause Gever lo Yitzlah employed in Jeremiah 22:30 may be better explained the following, may be better explained. Following the Septuagint, Vols omits the clause Gever lo Yitzlah. Vols wants to take it out, you know, the German. Lo mocha hen menav yalai ochi jah ucha. Dai, come on, easy. Yes. Following the Shivim. Very good. In this, he is followed by John Bright. John Bright wrote a very, very, very famous commentary, the Anchor Bible on Jeremiah, which is a very bad commentary. I prefer Shaddal commentary 100 times. Shaddal, Shlomo David Luzzatto. Who doubts? Okay. In this, he is followed by John Bright, who doubts that these words are original. Such an emendation, however, is not without difficulties. The resulting verse is unbalanced, leaving the term Ariri without any parallel. Rather, the clause Gever lo Yitzlah, a taking with what precedes, serves as a parallel interpretation to the term Ariri. While Shalach is in the following clause, lo Yitzlah Mizar'o, or Mizar'o lo Yitzlah, I'm sorry, serves as a play on word. As such, an understanding is strengthened when one notes that the phrase lo yitzlah in the sense unenergetic, unproductive, parallel to ariri, non-prosperous person, may be viewed alongside the Akkadian phrase la isharu, lo yashar, lo tzalah, employed in the following shu'ila passage. Shu'ila is the collection of the Akkadian prayers. Ashar et apalasi iballut mitu, itebi marzu isher la isharu. Wherever you look, O Ishtar, the dead comes to life, the sick gets well, the unproductive man becomes prosperous. Yet another instance of Atzlah in the book of Jeremiah may be better understood in view of a different usage of Akkadian Esher Shushuru. Somewhat puzzling text in Jeremiah 5:28 reads as follows. Shamnu, ashtu, gam avru divre ra' din lo danu, din yatom vayatzlihu, umishpat evyonim lo shafat. Following the interpretation of Kimhi, modern biblical scholarship renders vayatzlihu as that they shall prosper, succeed. With the wicked as the subject of yatzlihu. Such is also the rendering of G.R. Driver, who argued that clearly the text is distorted and that the residual din yatom umishpat evyonim lo shafatu being unrhythmical is a gloss on din lodanu, explaining what kind of a din they neglected. Theodor Gasser equates yatzlihu with the Ethiopic tsalhawa, to deceive, to defraud. You see, he said Talhawa, he said Yatzlihu, he made the Shidduch. Without knowing the context, you know, he was my teacher. We've discussed it last time. To deceive, to defraud. Rendering verse 28b as follows. In the case of the fatherless, they cheat and meet no justice to the poor. On the other hand, John Bright, following by D. Winton Thomas and K. Rudolph, claims that the subject of Yatzlihu is Yatom, literally, that they, the orphan, may have succeeded. Ehrlich, the great Jewish scholar, transfers Vayatzlihu to the end of verse 27, rendering Alken Gadlu Vayashiru Vayatzlihu. Volz, followed by Tur Sinai, argues that the verb belongs to the end of the verse, of the first clause of verse 28, following the Vrera. Do you know what kind of field I am? I'm not making any money. I'm doing, and this is the Omer Kacha, Omer Kacha, and I have to go. No, it's too much. One would, however, really too much. My mother, Allah Shalom, used to say, I think I told you, Hi, ma ata oshek, I'm a dagim, you know, cuneiform, you know, looks, the cuneiform is like fish, you know. I told you this one, ma ata lechti ya olech dim, I said it 100 times to you, I'll say it again. Great scholars, most times,
Torah or Masorah or Art Scroll. Great scholars. One would however expect an interpretation of verse 28. Now it's my thing. Din yatom vayatzlihu, that is less dependent upon a rearrangement of the verse. I'm very conservative there, by the way. Rearrangement of the verse. One of the attested meaning of Achaean Esheru Shushuru Shuteshuru is to provide, to render justice. To see that justice is done. The cognate usage of Akkadian Esheru is employed in Isaiah 1:7, where Asher seems to be the exact etymological as well as semantic equivalent of Akkadian term. As noted already by Ibn Ezra and Kimhi, the verb Ashru, Shiftu, Rivu, use to socially deprived individual, Rivu Almana, Shiftu Yastom, Ashru Hamots. By the way, it's not Hamots, it's Hamuts. Hamuts in Akkadian, the rubbed one. It's a different story now. You needled me, huh? Good. Similarly, and this is the end of the article, similarly, in the sense of providing justice, atzlah, is a semantic equivalent of Akkadian shushuru and is used to use of the deprived individual of yonim and yatom. The prophet condemns the evildoer for the justice withheld from the orphan. In part, now we're going back to this case of Yirmiyahu. Oh, okay, I have it there. In parallel, funny. I lost myself. Thus the prophet condemns the evildoers for the justice withheld from the orphan. In parallelism for Lo Danu and Lo Shafatu, we propose to render the empty is the Masoretic text, Vayatzlihu as Velo Yatzlihu. But you don't need to have the word lo, because the vav is vav exclamativum. The vav carries the word lo. Velo danu, bidyuk, in which the negative particle is understood from the preceding clause. Such an ellipsis, I'm explaining it, give me a chance. I never ever leave a cornerstone uncovered when I write an article. Why are you telling these stories? Here I'm trying to prove it. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Such an ellipsis or a double duty of one negative particle in subsequent clause is attested in both Ugaritic, you have note 46 to look at, and in Hebrew poetry, you have note 47. Note 47. In Jeremiah 5:28, we encounter a triple duty of the negative particle, i.e., the negative is expressed in the clause A and C, but is understood in the B clause, in the clause B. Such an omission of the negative in one of three clauses is found with nouns in 2 Samuel 1:21. The negative particle is omitted in clause C. Al tal, the al matar alechem usde trumot. Al tal, al matar the usde trumot. Which means, hills of Gilboa, let no dew, no rain have fallen per you, no upswelling of the deep. Rabbi spoke about it. Sharat or Motaim, remember last year? With verbs, on the other hand, this phenomenon is clearly attested in Isaiah 38:18, where the negative is omitted in clause B, but retained in clauses A and C. Ki lo she'ol todecha, mavet yahalelecha, lo yisabru yodebore lamitecha, which means, lo she'ol todecha, lo mavet yahalelecha. For it is not she'ol that praises you, nor the netherworld that exalts you, nor do they who descend into the pit hope for your grace. Huh? Novav. This time with Novav. No, Novav, Mavet. Furthermore, while in some cases the negative particle is involving two clauses is totally omitted. In other numerous instances, the vav precedes the vocable in place of the negative with nouns, number 51, you know, and with verbs, you know, you have to study this article. It seems then somewhat safe to assume that the vav is used as a poetic device and is functionally employed to serve as an indicator for the negative particle. Though it involves three clauses, such seems to be the case in Jeremiah 5:28, where the vav vayatzlihu stands for lo yatzlihu in the light of these observations, with no changes of all these scholars that do with the Hebrew text ki'ilu babayit shelahem, ki'ilu babayit shel abba shelahem. Though it is involved three clauses, such seems to be the case in Jeremiah 5:28, where the vav vayatzlihu stands for lo yatzlihu. In the light of this observation, the structure of Jeremiah 5:28 BC is best viewed as compromising three distinct kola. Din lo danu, din yatom vayatzlihu, shpat evyonim lo shafatu. These are to be rendered. They, the wicked, judge not the cause. The cause of the orphan they do not justly render, nor do they provide justice to the cause of the poor. Finally, and this will finish our study in Amos, finally, a word should be said about the difficult usage of Salah in Amos 5:6. Pen yitzlach ka'esh bet Yosef uva'ara ve'en mechabek levet el. The problem centers on the employment of Salah with Esh. And the subject of the verse, medieval commentators Rabbi Janah ibn Ezra Kimhi equates Salah with Baka'a to split. And they consider God's wrath, i.e. Hamato, as the hidden subject of the verse, rendering the clause, lest God's wrath shall split the eyes of Joseph like fire. But as pointed out above, there seems to be no clear indication that the Hebrew Salah is semantically related to Baka'a. We clarified in the beginning, remember. And Salah with person as an object, Bet Yosef, is always followed by the proposition Al or El. Further, if one grants that the hidden subject is God's wrath, one would expect the feminine form of the word Titzlah to be employed. Can't beat it. I'm sorry, Ibn Janah, the genius. I'm sorry. You can't beat it. A number of modern biblical scholars considering the subject to be God propose the following emendation. Harper, this is the very famous ICC, Yashlech Esh, cast in fire. Keller Baumgarten, the very famous dictionary, following Bird, the German Yashlech Esh Be. Kol ahad metaken. All right, listen, I have to consider it. I'm speaking about great scholars, not R scrolls. Rabbi, I think you like it. Yashlech Esh Be. On the other hand, those who argue that the subject is either Esh or Bet Yosef offer numerous emendations. J. Ryder, Yelachech Esh. Tur Sinai, following Ryder, reads Yelachech Ba'esh. Yilachech Ba'esh. Nifal will be licked by fire. Gretz, following Ehrlich, emends Yishlach Ba'esh. Nifal, Yishalach Ba'esh. Rudolf, the great scholar, Yitzale Ba'esh. Not a Bet Yosef Yitzale Ba'esh. Maz is a Basar. It's roasted meat. How could a scholar say it's a leba esh, but Bet Yosef? I want to show you the ridiculous of what's going on in biblical sciences. I brought it not because to show you that I wrote an article 20 years ago. And by the way, I don't believe I wrote this article. The English is beautiful. So, no, you know. While Rudolf read it's a leba esh, equating with the Akkadian tselu. Mutistakel. Tselu means to roast the meat in fire, not to roast Bet Yosef in fire. Rudolf emendation is far-fetched, since Akkadian Tselu never used of people, but being burned but of kutrinu, incense, or other fumigation, while Hebrew Tzala refers only to roasted meat. See how careful I am? How careful the school of Moshe El, Alav HaShalom. Two other interesting interpretations are noteworthy. That of F. Peerless, who equates Salah with Akkadian Tzirich too, which means to burn in fire, Brendan Zetten, as well as with J. Blau, Yosef Blau, the Israeli, the very famous Israeli Arabist, who argues that biblical Hebrew has two homonyms, Blau. Salah one to split, to succeed, related to Aramaic Salah, and Salahtu to burn, attested only in Amos. To be acquainted with Syriac Tzarah. Tzarah means in Syriac really to burn fire. The LXX, the Targum Yonatan, the Peshitta, Peshitta is the Syriac translation of Tanakh, the Vulgate, all translate Salah to be burned kindle. Now, you see from the context, it's Lach Ba'esh. While not elaborating on either the etymological origin of Salah to burn or the semantic development of Salah to succeed, Salah to burn, he does refer to the problematic usage of Salah in Mishlei ben Sira 8:10. Most of the emendation discussed above suggests that Amos 5:6, that the meaning to burn, such a meaning is obviously required in this verse. Thus, an interpretation without involving an emendation would be to take Salah in the sense of to burn. It should be recalled that Hebrew Salah Derech, to proceed, the semantic equivalent of Akedah Lesher Shushuru, is a verbum movendi. Verbum movendi means pe'alim yotzim, means pe'alim shehem, pe'alim of movement, you know, verbs of movement, referring to an action speed and rush. I'm finishing the article. The verb dalak, now pay attention with me. The verb dalak, attested 9 times in the Hebrew Bible, is also employed as a verb movendi, meaningly to pursue, to rush after, as well as to burn. Rabbi? Dalak means to burn. This is my hidush. I'm quoted all over in dictionaries with this hidush. This also seems to be true with the verb ba'ar, which commonly means to burn, but also has a meaning in the PIL to sweep away. In Ugaritic, ba'ar also employs as a verb movendi, twice meaning to lead. Yaba'ir lashon athato lam nukhri madato. He, the newlywed, leads his wife to another, his beloved to a stranger. Kodesh yuhadm shab'ar amra.